Well, good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to welcome you to day 9 of our 21-day Make Room prayer call. We are now in the second week of our journey together, and I pray you're still leaning in, still pressing in, and still making room for God. Last week, our focus was make room in us. But this week, our theme is make room for him. Now that the space has been consecrated, we are recentering our lives around God's presence, God's word, and God's will. When we talk about making room for him, I like to use the word recentering. Because if we're not careful, we fall into segmentation thinking, the idea that God is number one on a list. And while that sounds good, the problem with list thinking is that it minimizes the rule and reign of Jesus over every square inch of our existence. See, when you say God is number one, the danger is that he becomes a category. After him comes number 2, then number 3, then number 4. You know, work, family, friends, health, and so on. But that's not how God's kingdom works. God doesn't want to be number 1 on your list. He wants to be the center of your life. Picture a wheel. At the center, you got a hub, and all the spokes are connected to and flow out of that hub. If the hub is strong, the whole wheel turns properly. If the hub is weak, the whole structure collapses. That's what it means to recenter your life on Christ. He's not just first in line. He's in the middle of everything, holding it all together, and every part of your life flows from him. So as we move through this week, when we say make room for him, we're saying Jesus, take your rightful place at the center. Be the hub that holds my life, my family, my finances, my decisions, and my future together. Yesterday, on day 8, our word was pause. We reminded ourselves that sometimes the most powerful act of faith is to stop striving, release control, and rest in the fact that God is still God. And so on today, on day 9, our word is prayer. Prayer. If pause is the posture, prayer is the practice. Prayer is not just a ritual, it's a relationship. It's how we talk to God, but also how we listen to God. It's where our weakness meets his strength, where our needs meet his supply, and where our hearts align with his will. Our key verse this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Just 2 words, pray continually. That's the entire verse. In context, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, a community living under constant pressure, persecution, and uncertainty. And tucked in the middle of his final instructions, he gives them a survival kick for the Christian life. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Before I go any further, let me just establish this. Prayer really works. Now, I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about testimony. Prayer has a track record. Prayer has receipts. Prayer has shifted things in heaven and on earth. And some of you know it for yourself. You prayed when the doctor gave you the report and God raised you up. You prayed when you were broke and didn't know how you were going to make it and God made a way. You prayed when your child was lost and God brought them home. You prayed when you couldn't see a way forward, and suddenly doors started opening that nobody could shut. And even if you don't have your own story yet, the Bible is full of examples. Hannah prayed and God opened her womb. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. Daniel prayed and the lions went to sleep. Jesus prayed and the blind received sight. The lame walked and the dead were raised. Prayer really works. But let me tell you what prayer ain't. Prayer ain't a magic lamp where you rub the side and God comes out like a genie to grant you three wishes. Prayer isn't a vending machine where you put in a few words and expect to get exactly what you ordered back. Prayer isn't a last ditch 911 call you only make when everything is falling apart. Prayer isn't a performance to impress people with fancy words and churchy phrases. No, prayer is relationship. I like what Barbara Brown Taylor says. She says, there is more to prayer than the answer to prayer. She says, there is also the prayer who is shaped by the praying. You remember when the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. Well, Jesus didn't point them to a formula. You know the words, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not a formula to get the prayer's prayer answered, but words designed to shape the prayer by his or her praying. These words are designed to shape us by showing us that God is our source, our Father. God is sacred, hallowed be your name. God is sovereign, thy kingdom come. And God is superior, thy will be done. If I know that God is my source and that God is sacred and that he's sovereign and superior, I have confidence when I need provision. Because he is my supporter. Give us this day our daily bread. I have confidence when I need pardon because he is my savior. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I have confidence when I need protection because he's my shelter. Lead us not into temptation. You get the idea. When we have seen God as source and view him as sacred and sovereign and superior, prayer becomes less about us and more about God. It shifts the center of gravity. It's no longer, Lord, here's my list, please bless it. It becomes, Lord, here's my life, please shape it. When was the last time you left prayer not with an answer, but with a new attitude? Because here's where the tension lies for most of us. When prayer becomes transactional, we treat God like a spiritual customer service line. We call him up, file our requests, and if he doesn't resolve it on our timeline, we hang up disappointed and angry. And church, that's the danger. When we don't get the answer we want, we start to doubt God's goodness. When the healing doesn't come right away, we think he's not listening. When the door doesn't open on schedule, we think he's ignoring us. When the situation doesn't change, we wonder if prayer even works. But the truth is, prayer was never designed to make God our personal assistant. Prayer was designed to make us God's disciples. When the answer doesn't change, sometimes it's because God is trying to change you. When the situation stays the same, sometimes it's because God is working on your spirit in the middle of it. When you leave prayer with more peace and more patience and more perspective, guess what? That's still an answered prayer. And I'm sure some of you can testify this morning, I may not have received the answer I wanted, But God changed my attitude about it. You prayed for healing. And while the sickness lingered, God gave you peace that surpassed all understanding. You prayed for that door to open, and while it stayed shut, God opened your eyes to another path you didn't see before. You prayed for the storm to stop, and while the wind still blew, God calmed the storm inside of you. Because sometimes the real miracle is not in the shift of the situation, but in the shift of your spirit. Prayer doesn't always change the circumstance right away, but prayer will always change you. That's why my prayer has become, Lord, if you don't change it, change how I see it. If you don't move it, move me. If you don't fix it, fix my faith in the middle of it. Because if God can change how I view it, then I can have peace while I'm going through it. If he can change my perspective, then I don't have to wait for the battle to end before I worship, but I can shout right now because my attitude has shifted. But you don't arrive here by accident. You don't stumble into peace. You don't wake up one morning and just happen to have patience and perspective and praise. No, you arrive here by prayer. By doing what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray continually. Paul understood that prayer is not an event, it's a rhythm. It's not just a morning ritual or a bedtime routine, it's a lifestyle. It's how you carry yourself through the day. Prayer is when you whisper his name in the car before the meeting. Prayer is when you thank him under your breath while standing in line at Walmart. Prayer is when you ask for wisdom before you answer that email. Prayer is when you talk to him in the kitchen while you're cooking dinner, or in the hallway when you're worried about your child. Pray continually means weaving God into the fabric of your every moment. So here's how I want you to practice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 today. I want you to practice one by whispering prayer. Whisper prayers. Throughout your day, whisper short prayers. Thank you, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. You don't need a long speech. You just need to keep the line open. Takiya and I, we'll be married 14 years in October, but before we got married, we would stay on the phone for hours. You know, we were cute and stuff. Half the time, we weren't even saying nothing. I've been dozed off, and every now and then, she'll say, Collins, and I'll shout, I'm here. You see, it wasn't about constant chatter. It was about constant connection. Because the comfort isn't in how much we're saying, it's in knowing the line is never closed. That's what prayer is like. God's not asking for polished speeches every hour. He just wants you to stay on the line. A whisper here, thank you there. Keep the line open. And you'll be surprised how present God feels, not just in your prayer closet, but in every corner of your life. So today I want you to whisper prayers. But secondly, breathe prayers. Today I want you to tie prayer to your breathing. That as you inhale, say, Lord, I receive your peace. As you exhale, Lord, I release my worry. This keeps you centered and calm even in stressful moments. Folks always ask, Collins, how do you stay so calm? Well, part of it is my personality, but I've also learned the power of breathing. There have been moments when stress was high, when the pressure was on, when the weight felt heavy, and the only thing I could do was stop and breathe. And I discovered that even my breathing can become a prayer. that as I inhale, I pray, Lord, I receive your peace. As I exhale, I pray, Lord, I release my worry. As I inhale, I receive your strength. As I exhale, I release my fear. That simple rhythm has carried me through countless moments, because what prayer does for your soul, breathing does for your body. It slows you down, recenters you, and reminds you that God is still in control. So I want you to whisper prayers, breathe prayers. But thirdly, pause before you respond. Before sending the text, replying to the email, or answering the question, pause and pray, Lord, give me wisdom right here. That quick prayer can shift your tone and completely guide your response. So pause before you respond, breathe prayers, whisper prayers. Number four, do some gratitude check-ins. I want you to do something today. Most of you are tied to your cell phones all day. You got watches that are tied to your phone as well. I want you to set a timer or a reminder in your phone 2 to 3 times a day. When it goes off, stop and just thank God for one thing in that moment. Because gratitude is a powerful form of prayer. And here's why. Gratitude shifts your focus. Gratitude takes your eyes off what's missing and puts them on what's already been given. Gratitude reminds you that even if everything isn't how you want it to be, God has already done more than enough. Some of us only pray out of need, but gratitude teaches us to pray out of memory. Gratitude says, Lord, I thank you for what you've already done. I thank you for the doors you've already opened. I thank you for the ways you've already made. I thank you for the mercies I woke up to this morning. The reason gratitude is powerful is because it refuses to let the enemy trick you into entitlement. Gratitude silences complaining. Gratitude says, even if I don't have the answer yet, oh, I have evidence. Let me back off of that, because evidence weighs more than emotion. Your emotions will tell you it's over. Your emotions will tell you God has forgotten you. Your emotions will tell you this situation is bigger than you can bear. But evidence says he did it before. Evidence says he made a way last time. Evidence says I'm still standing here today as proof that God is faithful. See, emotions shift with the wind, but evidence stands on the record. And the record shows he's never lost a battle. So I want you to do some gratitude check-ins, pause before you respond, breathe prayers, whisper prayers. But finally, I want you to use scripture as prayer. Keep a verse in your heart today and repeat it throughout the day. For example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let scripture shape your prayer and perspective. So remember, prayer is not just what I do in the morning. It's how I carry the presence of God with me all day long. So I want to encourage you today to just keep the line open. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you have given us direct access to the throne of grace, where we can come boldly and find mercy in our time of need. We thank you for last night's lying down and this morning's rising. Thank you that while we slept, you never slumbered. Thank you for keeping watch over us through the night, for waking us with new mercies, for giving us the strength to rise and face another day's journey. We honor you today for who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You are Jehovah Shalom, the God who gives peace. You're faithful when we are fickle. You're steady when we're shaky. You're strong when we are weak. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So before we ask you for anything, we worship you for everything. We exalt your name. We lift up your greatness, and we bow in reverence because you alone are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And Father, we thank you that things are as well as they are. For we confess this morning that your goodness is not due to our faithfulness, but because of your mercy. Your protection was not earned by our perfection, but by your grace. We didn't deserve to wake up clothed and in our right mind, but you saw fit to let us see another day. We didn't deserve breath in our bodies and strength in our limbs, but you spoke life into us once again. So we say thank you, Lord, not because everything is perfect, but because you have been present. Not because we've been flawless, but because you've been faithful. Not because we've always walked right, but because you've always watched over us. So we ask you this morning to cleanse us. Purify our hearts and our motives. Create within us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. And now, Lord, go before us today. For we live in a mean world. We walk into workplaces where competition can be cutthroat. We step into classrooms where peer pressure is real. We drive streets where tempers flare and patience runs short. We encounter people carrying anger and bitterness and pain. And so, Lord, go before us today. Be our shield when darts are thrown. Be our peace when chaos rises. Be our wisdom when decisions must be made. Surround us with your favor as with a shield. Let no weapon formed against us today prosper. Let every trap set by the enemy be uncovered and dismantled before it can reach us. Lord, be a hedge of protection around our families, our children, and our loved ones. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. Guard our minds from fear, our hearts from anxiety, and our spirits from discouragement. And wherever we walk today, oh Lord, let us carry your presence. So that even in a mean world, people will encounter your love and your light and your peace through us. So I want you to repeat after me today our declaration. Won't you say it with me? Today, I will pray continually. I will keep the line open. I will breathe in God's peace and breathe out my worry. I will not treat prayer as a transaction. I will live it as transformation. I am being shaped. I am being strengthened. And I am being sustained through prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you for tuning in to our prayer call this morning. We are day 9, and our key word today is prayer. The playback will be uploaded to our website this morning at gracechurchal.com. And listen, I am praying for you. I am rooting for you today. So be careful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.